Basketball fans, Mott's Matt for Brewpub Lots of Mott's Pizza here. As much as our badges are a staple to our great state of Wisconsin, Brewpub pizzas are a staple as the in-game meal of choice. Brewpub pizzas are loaded with quality meat and veggie toppings, then bombarded with over half a pound of award-winning mozzarella cheese, made right here in Wisconsin. Each Brewpub pizza is a swish of delish. So stop by your local grocer today and snag one and enjoy two of Wisconsin's favorite things, Badger basketball and Brewpub pizzas, the ingredients for a great time.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road.
And there's another thing we would never do on the road.
Drive drunk.
Drive sober.
Or get pulled over.
Together, we can save lives.
Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov.
Wisconsin DOT.
Back here at Munn Arena, top-ranked Michigan State rallies to beat Wisconsin here tonight. 4-3, the final score. Let's get to our energizing performance of the game, brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond for you.
Well, for me, it was the goal at the end of the first period by Wisconsin. And Quinn Finley took a shot. In my opinion, Gavin Marcy redirected it on net, and puck kind of just sat down next to the post, and he got to it first. I think banked it off the goaltender and in, and the Badgers got some life after that. They scored again just 51 seconds into the second, so that's a couple of goals in less than 3 minutes to turn the game for a while. And, the Badgers were down 1-0. Michigan State started really strong. They were causing turnovers all over the place and then kind of shifted for a while for Wisconsin's favor, but obviously the end result did not turn out how they wanted, but that changed the game and energized the Badgers for half a period or so.
Yeah, and you know, look at it, actually, for 40 minutes maybe, 35, 40 minutes, Wisconsin played really, really well. But when you're playing a team like Michigan State, you can't take your foot off the gas for 5 seconds, let alone 5 minutes, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can see that they had quick shot by Isaac Howard, a nice play at the end, a really nice play to get this, to get the rally started up the right boards the entire way.
Yeah.
And finished that with some pretty passing. And so, yeah, obviously they're number one in the country and now 16-2 for a reason. You got to stay focused the entire time. And they didn't have a lot, but they took advantage when they did.
All right, so Wisconsin can still win the season series for Michigan State. Both teams have regulation wins. The Spartans have an overtime victory. The regular season finale will be Saturday night at Wrigley Field. So it would have been nice to win this one in their building. Now you got to go win one of the Frozen Confines.
Yeah, and obviously now that this game is behind us, looking backwards, if you wanted to win one this weekend, that would be the one you probably want to win at Wrigley Field. That would be a fun way to go out for the weekend. Would have loved and definitely will hurt with this one, not getting this one to the finish line, but Wisconsin will have obviously make a quick recovery, be excited to play the next game for sure, and try to get the W.
All right, nice job tonight, Paul.
You too.
Paul Capobianco, UW Athletic Brand Communications. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification, 10 seconds for a legal ID. You're listening to Wisconsin Badger Hockey.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
All right, so the Badgers fall here to Michigan State, 4-3, the final score. More of our post-game show highlights and post-game reaction as well in a moment. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito.
In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents, kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Ad Council.
For every goal the Wisconsin men's and women's hockey team score this season, Oak Park Place and other select hockey radio sponsors are pledging $10 for research conducted on campus by the UW Initiative to End Alzheimer's. You can assist us in ending Alzheimer's. Visit goalsforacure.org to learn more and where you can sign up to give for each Badger goal scored this season. Quick look at the scoreboard. This is the only Division I men's college hockey game on the docket tonight. Top-ranked Wisconsin women, though, hosting second-ranked Ohio State, and the Badgers have a 3-0 lead in the second period at LeBron Arena. Lacey Eden, Cassie Hall, and Maggie Scannell have all scored for Mark Johnson's club. Those two teams play at Wrigley Field Saturday at 4:30 before the Wisconsin men tangle with Michigan State. World Junior Championship quarterfinals today. The United States beat Switzerland 7-2, two goals apiece from Ryan Leonard and James Hagens. Also, Sweden held off Latvia 3-2. Finland beat Slovakia 5-3, and Czechia has a 3-1 lead on Canada. And Notre Dame beat Georgia 23-10 at the Sugar Bowl, so the Fighting Irish will face Penn State in the Orange Bowl in the college football semifinals on Thursday, January 9th. Ohio State and Texas meet at the Cotton Bowl on Friday, January 10th. Here, Michigan State knocks off Wisconsin 4-3. Highlights coming. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Badger fans, the temperatures may be dropping, but the Big Ten action at the Kohl Center is just heating up. This winter, we've got an action-packed schedule of Badger men's and women's basketball and men's hockey games right here at home. Gather your friends and family, secure your seats, and create lasting memories with us at the Kohl Center. For the full Badger schedule and to purchase your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
On the football field, the skilled players get paid the most. The same is true in construction. Some of the most skilled players building our roads, solar farms, and stadiums are the men and women of the Wisconsin Operating Engineers. If you're ready to step up to a job where you can earn more without college debt and operate equipment like cranes, excavators, bulldozers, and drones, you're ready to join our team today at join139.com.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Hey Badger fans, it's Mott's Matt for Brewpub Latte Mott's Pizza. Basketball season is here, and there's nothing that beats sitting and listening to a Badger game while enjoying a delicious Brewpub pizza. Every game-winning shot and every sweet alley-oop deserves a pizza that's just as amazing. And you'll find that in a Brewpub Latte Mott's Pizza. Loaded with high-quality meat and veggie toppings, then bombarded with over half a pound of award-winning Wisconsin mozzarella cheese, Brewpub pizzas are a swish of delish. Snag one today from your local grocery store or during home games in the concession stand at the Kohl Center.
for the Wisconsin Badgers, resuming Big Ten play tonight on the road against top-ranked Michigan State. Game one of a two-game series that concludes Saturday night at Wrigley Field. Wisconsin, which started the season 2-8, was digging itself out of that huge hole and was 7-2-1 in the last 10 games. Those two losses, both in overtime. Badgers hadn't suffered a regulation loss in the last 10 games, facing a Michigan State team that had lost only twice in 18 games this season, one of those two losses to Wisconsin. But the Spartans coming off their first Great Lakes Invitational Championship since 2009. Michigan State minus its number one goaltender, Trey Augustine, playing for the United States of the World Junior Championship, but his backup, Luca DePasquo, has been playing very well. Wisconsin and Michigan State meeting for the third time in this season, and here are the calls of the game. Faceoff to the right of Scarfoni. Lindmark lost the draw. Out to the point, Gucciardi kind of shanked the shot. Flipped in the air and then played to the near side corner. Lindmark bumped it, gave it away to Kelly with a shot that was stopped by Scarfoni. Came out high. Gucciardi shot deflected. Stopped by Scarfoni and tapped in by Michigan State's Tiernan Shouty. Long lead feed, Russell can't get behind the Badger defense. Finds a cutting Howard now looking inside. They score! Charlie Stramel from Isaac Howard. 4-3 Michigan State. Skates in goal line right. Daniel Lodge cycles now off to Finley. Quinn Finley with it. Put it in front. Got through to Pasco with a save. Rebound. Badgers put it in. Gavin Morrissey. Wisconsin pulls even at Michigan State. Lindmark wins the faceoff on this power play. He's got it slot. Looks backside left. In front. Oh, a chance for Kukkonen. Then tapped in by Lindmark. Oh, Kukkonen had a wide open net and hit the far post, but it ricocheted to the crease and Lindmark jammed it in. Michigan State wins the faceoff and sends it to the far corner of the Wisconsin zone. Palatichuk reverses far side. Loose puck picked up. Howard rifles one home. We are tied. Bumps it out to the point, and Scholes settles it down, skates it left wing. Scholes to the right dot, stops and looks. Zach Scholes out to the point now. Phelan, left side, Botterill tries to settle it down and does. His shot skips through, rebound picked up. Scholes hammers it home. 3-1 Wisconsin. Up to center, his pass off the body of Fitzgerald, but came across the Wisconsin line in tight. They score from the corner. Savage found the cutting Thorwart, who beat Scarfoni. It looked like short side high. Michigan State's got some life. It's now 3-2. Obviously, the highlights out of order there. Michigan State took a 1-0 lead on Tiernan Shouty's goal, 5:36 into the first, but the Badgers tied it. Gavin Morrissey, the freshman, with his sixth of the year from Mosley and Findlay at 18:05. Badgers made it 2-1 early second period. Owen Lindmark, a power play goal, his fifth of the year, 53 seconds in from Kyle Kukkonen and Tyson Dick. And then Sawyer Scholl scored to make it 3-1 at 5:27. Scholl's second goal this season from Botterill and Phelan. But then the Spartans rally. They cut it to one late second period. Carson Dorwart from Red Savage and Joey Larson at 14:26. Isaac Howard tied it at 57 seconds of the third with Charlie Stramel and David Gucciardi getting assists. And then Stramel scores the game winner from Howard and Russell at 14:55. The final score 4-3. Associate head coach Todd Cannot kind enough to make his way upstairs after running from one end of the rink to the other end of the rink. Boy, it's too bad. Your club, it took a little while to get your game going, and then you got your game going, and you built a 3-1 lead, and then things just, well, Michigan State's a good club, right?
Yeah, a little bit of both of that. I thought we had a slow start, as you said. We were a little bit sleepy early on. But give our guys credit. They found a way to get back in that game by scoring a big goal, I thought, in that first period. And then I'll have to watch it back. Sometimes a little bit of the raw emotion right after a game, it's kind of hard. But I just thought we were soft on pucks. I thought puck management, which is usually, if you look at the last 6-8 games, that's been a strength of ours. Decisions with the puck, being strong on pucks. And I thought we turned over too many against a good hockey team tonight.
Yeah, puck possession is so huge, too. You saw in the first period, Wisconsin just wasn't winning faceoffs. And generally, that's puck possession, but it's also 50-50 battles.
Very much
right?
So. We actually talked about that exact thing. I think we're 2 for, I don't know what it was, but
it was
not a lot.
2 for 16 or something like
that. On faceoffs, yeah. But there's a lot of them that were 50-50s where you can't just look at a centerman. That's a group of five guys, and that's a lot of times a true tell, though, kind of how engaged you are in the game, whether it's a faceoff. We talk about it as a group. If we're getting inside ice and we're on our toes jumping, and if we're not, usually that's a sign that you're struggling in other areas of the game too, which we did tonight.
Yeah, it's too bad to see because you had it right in your hands. You're right.
We did. We're getting close. We've got to get over that hump. You know what? That's one of those that we just talked about as a staff, as a group right now. And we've been through this. We played good hockey through that first stretch, found a way to lose games. We're kind of getting out of that, and we reverted a little bit tonight. So we're going to have to go back to the drawing board and talk it over as a group. And the one thing that this group has done this year is responded. So that's what we're looking forward to now is Saturday in response.
Yeah, and it will be fun. You're going to Wrigley Field and playing an iconic baseball stadium and against a team that just beat you, and you still have a chance to win the season series.
No, that's exactly it. Right. We talked about it after the game, and our guys know that. You win a hockey game, you win a series, which is hard to do in the Big Ten, especially against a team like Michigan State. So we've got a great opportunity in front of us. One that'll be once in a lifetime for our guys, an opportunity to win a hockey game.
All right. Hey, thanks for coming up. All right. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Paul.
Sure. Associate head coach Todd Canott, Wisconsin Falls, 4-3, the final. Final statistics here tonight. The Badgers had two penalties for 4 minutes. Michigan State, 3 for 6. Wisconsin went 1 for 3 on the power play. The Spartans went 0 for 2. As far as faceoffs are concerned here tonight, Michigan State won 38 of 75 draws, although Gavin Morrissey was 17 of 25 in the faceoff circle here tonight. Spartans got a goal and an assist from Charlie Stramel and from Isaac Howard, a goal from Carson Dorwart, and an assist from Daniel Russell, who led the team with 5 shots on goal. Tiernan Shouty also had a goal tonight. He blocked a couple of shots. He had 3 shots on goal this evening. Luca DePasquo made 30 saves, 10 in the first, 8 in the second, 12 in the third. He gives up his first even-strength goals of the season. He gets the win, though. His record improves to 5-0. Michigan State now 16-2-1, 7-1-1 in the Big Ten. Individually for the Badgers, goals for Owen Lindmark, Sawyer Scholl, and Gavin Morrissey. Quinn Finley had an assist, 4 shots on goal. Scholl also had 4 shots on goal. Unfortunately, Cody Laskowski, Joe Palatichuk, Christian Fitzgerald, Simon Tassie, and Ben Dexheimer all -2. Jack Horbach was +2 tonight. Tommy Scarfone, 32 saves, 9 in the first, 12 in the second, 11 in the third. He takes the loss, though. He's now 8-7-1. The Badgers fall to 9-11-1, 5-8 in the Big Ten. Tonight, 6,555 fans paid to watch a game that took 2 hours and 22 minutes to play. Michigan State rallies to knock off Wisconsin 4-3. And we'll wrap up our broadcast in a moment. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Central heat, you know, the HVAC systems that heat your entire house. Man, those can really cost us an arm and a leg. And they lose up to 30% of their energy through the ductwork, plus more when we're heating rooms that we aren't even using. One trick that can bring down your heating bill is to lower your thermostat and use energy-efficient space heaters where you really need the heat. I'm a little retro, and I like radiant heaters. Those are heaters that just heat a specific area in a room. On average, running a 1,500-watt space heater is going to cost you about 20 cents an hour. While running your central electric furnace, that's going to run you $1.37 an hour. So space heaters can mean real savings. However, if you use a space heater, make sure you follow the directions for their safe use. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. The next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Happy holidays from WFHR. It's that time of the year when you share Christmas cheer with people that you know. No matter where you go, you can always see a glow in the people you meet as you walk down the street. The magic really shows. Happy holidays from WFHR. With this song that we sing, we hope to bring happiness to your heart. And for the new year, we wish for you the best. Merry Christmas to you from WFHR.
Get hurt in the game? We tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough. when stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So we're going to reach out, because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The Badgers.
Fades Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Fades.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts on a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Have you listened to Community Stories yet? The show that features voices from right here in our community? Well, for the month of January, you can catch up on podcasts of past episodes on our website at civicmedia.us. The show's going on vacation for a month, but Community Stories will return in February, tanned and well-rested. Okay, maybe not, but the stories will be fresh and engaging. Keep your dial tuned to WFHR for updates on the new schedule.
I mean, work for MnDOT, you know, they end up staying most of their careers. I mean, when I started with MnDOT, I'll be honest, my commissioner's probably listening, but or could be. I only planned to come for a couple of years. I mean, I was just like, I just wanted to try something that, because I'd only worked my whole career for Leech Lake, and I wanted to try something different. So I had some work experience so I could say, you know, work somewhere else. And it's going on my seventh year. So Robert, yeah. I hope people, our listeners are there. If they got questions, reach out to me and or some of the other Indigenous Employee Resource Group members who are big advocates for our work as well.
Well, as you can see, really, Haley runs this show. So I want to be careful about this next question is, like, how can people find out about current career openings in the Minnesota Department of Transportation other than Haley? Oh, wow.
So the best way, Robert, is to if you got your phone in front of you, computer, laptop, iPad, whatever, just Google Minnesota State Jobs. And then look up MnDOT, Department of Transportation. And then there you can select the region you want to work in. You could select the type of area you might want to work in, depending on where your expertise is. And you can just monitor those positions. You can look at where we have openings. Or you can just Google Levi Brown MnDOT. And my contact info is there. Maybe we can share it on your Facebook, wherever it is. And people can just reach out to me. I can help guide them. I mean, as you can tell, Robert, I'm pretty sociable. I have no problem just talking to people. And I think, you know, I just want to try to help people, you know, take advantage of an opportunity to be part of that change we're talking about.
Yeah, that's awesome, Levi. You know, and that's a good relative to be helping people. And also, you know, communication is huge for us. And, you know, I'm really excited to hear about these things. And I, you know, I'm 63 years old, so I wish I would have heard about these when I was young and had a career and retired by the time I was 55 and, you know, hanging out, you know, at the lake house. Oh, wow.
Well, you ever get up to Leech Lake and Cass Lake there, Robert, you let me know, because you don't have to be 55 to come have a good time up there, relax and you know, take in all the activities up there.
Yeah, let's switch gears just for a second, because really, you do have the best wild rice. I do have to say that, because at Native Roots Radio, we have a Native Roots trading post at the State Fair and at Shakopee Poway Bluff, and we sell that, and people love it.
So just so you know, I have to build relationships with all 11 tribes. So I will be, they at least know where my heart is and they know what I'll say where I do rice. But yeah, I agree, Robert. I'm not going to hold back.
Heck, you know, we got to have you on the show more often, and then Haley and I will get up there when it's ricing season and get in that canoe with you.
Well, just for FYI. So I also serve on the Natural Resource Advisory Committee for Leech Lake, and we have our first ricing committee meeting tonight. So once I get off of this interview, I'm actually going to go over and get on that call, and we'll be setting our hunting and fishing dates for Leech Lake, and then also start talking about our rice beds and which ones will be there. So we're only a couple weeks away, Robert.
Wow, that's cool. You know, Ho-Chunk coming up there to Leech Lake, that's very cool. Sounds very cool.
Well, and you know, one thing about Leech Lake is, you know, they have exclusive jurisdiction over wild rice. So whether you're a tribal member or a non-tribal member, everybody's got to go to the Division of Resource Management for Leech Lake to get a permit. And I think one of the things that I feel fortunate about is just about how blessed that Monomon is. That's the abundance that's up there, and you know, you can feed yourself with one handful each day.
Wow, really good. And remind our listeners, because we have listeners all over the state and state of Wisconsin, talk about the Ojibwe legend of finding food floating on ground.
So our ancestors were on the east coast, and you know that our legends talk about these seven places along the journey along the Great Lakes. But then we'll reach a place where the food grows on water. And if you ever see a wild rice, you know, see rice or rice bed, you know, it's something to really be something beautiful, something that where you're sitting there and you want to heal yourself and feel good, knowing that that's there and the Creator's put that for you there to eat, feed yourself, and you know, heal your body and your spirit. Just go look at a rice bed, especially coming up in the next few weeks, because it just the wind blows a little bit and just waves at you. Those rice heads are just there. It's a wonderful sight, especially when you see rice poles go through it, and you see Nijis out there, you know, friends out there, and people are other human beings out there gathering it.
Wow. Well, with Levi Brown, Minnesota Department of Transportation's Director of Indian Affairs. How to get a hold of you and what the website is, so our listeners out there that were driving and now pulling over with their pens can write this down, because they might be like me where I have a good memory, but it's short. Ooh.
So the best way to do it is just tribesintransportation.com. It'll bring you right to our, you know, Office of Tribal Affairs from MnDOT. We kind of coined that Tribes in Transportation, because we're kind of early in the game. At the same time, you can find my cell phone and my contact number online in that same website, and I can help guide you to any employment opportunities or questions you might have, or just in general what MnDOT does. And you know, I hope this everybody listening is I hope my phone blows up a little bit. Let's put it that way, and I get some phone calls of people interested.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, I want to get my young Chujunk here on in the last couple minutes. Haley, who's a Gen Zer, do you have any questions? Because this is amazing for an old person like me to hear that MnDOT has a liaison, a tribal liaison, and reaching out specifically to the Native community. That just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's really important that we kind of go back and redevelop these relationships with state officials and state government offices. I remember we had Wobbin on last year from MnDOT, who gave a really great interview. And I was just so surprised at the many different job positions that are available. Can you repeat some of those?
So we're more than just snow plows and maintenance and plowing. You know, we're bridge inspectors, we're, you know, GIS specialists, you know, Office of Land Management, surveying engineer, you know, engineers for whether it's, you know, civil engineering, or we also have a need for computer specialists. You know, our office minute, who takes care of our technology. We have attorneys, position for attorneys, mapping specialists. And we actually have an office for which I think is I'm very proud of, but our office that works with civil rights, and you know, looking after our veterans and other groups to make sure that, you know, our contracts and how we do our business and work. I think those are all unique opportunities that, you know, pretty fortunate to have that under one umbrella.
Wow, good question, Haley. Wow, we're really fortunate to really amplify this this message out there, because again, this is like really a beautiful thing that the state's doing, and I feel really good about amplifying your message, Levi.
And again, I think, you know, what's really unique is where I'm at right now. I'm up in Grand Portage, up at the northeastern part of.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Special Report. In its investigation of yesterday's deadly Bourbon Street truck attack, the FBI determines...
We do not assess at this point that anyone else involved in this attack is involved in this attack, except for Shamsuddin Jabbar,
who was killed in a shootout with police. FBI Deputy Assistant Director Christopher Rea also says the attacker posted videos declaring support for ISIS shortly before the rampage. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Records show Jabbar had worked in real estate in recent years and was a former employee of the consulting firm Deloitte. He had been married and divorced three times, and one of his previous wives had a temporary restraining order against him.
A Houston neighbor described Jabbar as a private person.
Calm. Collect, don't talk much, very private person. You know, don't interrupt us. We don't interrupt him.
Investigators have recovered three cell phones and two laptops from Jabbar's home. CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Three Packers named to the Pro Bowl. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NFL says three Packers players selected for the Pro Bowl. Two of them signed with the team this year in free agency. It's safety Xavier McKinney, running back Josh Jacobs. The third is defensive end Rashawn Gary. The Packers' top defensive back, Jair Alexander, had to have surgery on his right knee and is now out for the rest of the season. This will mean more snaps for second-year man Carrington Valentine.
This is next man mentality, honestly. You know, it sucks, but play football. Injuries happen. You know, you got to keep going.
The Packers host the Bears Sunday. Quarterback Caleb Williams was asked what he thought about his former assistant coach at USC, Cliff Kingsbury, as a candidate for the next head coach of the Bears.
Yeah, I'd say I've been around Cliff. I know what type of guy he is. I know that he loves football. I know that he wants to win. He's a competitor. I've been around him, so asking him questions and things like that, I think, obviously, if he was here, I'd probably have more to say.
That's Bears quarterback Caleb Williams with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Hollywood has a reputation of being progressive, but as a recent drill down would indicate, that isn't always the case. According to Variety, despite women directing some of 2024's critically acclaimed hits like Baby Girl, The Fire Inside, and The Substance, overall, women directed just 16% of the 250 top-grossing films from last year. That is about the same percentage as 2023. When you drill down even further, women directed only 11% of the top 100 grossing films from last year. 23-year-old music phenom Billie Eilish had the most streamed song of 2024. The song Birds of a Feather off Eilish's third album, Hit Me Hard and Soft, was streamed over 1.75 billion times on Spotify. The song was written by Eilish and her brother Phineas. Birds of a Feather has been nominated for three Grammy Awards, including Song of the Year, Record of the Year, and Best Solo Performance of the Year. Looks like I got shut out again. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, maybe a few flurries, lows in the low teens. Then a clearing sky with some sunshine for tomorrow, highs in the mid-teens. And staying in the mid to upper teens as we look through the weekend and early next week, staying partly sunny and dry. Currently it's 17 degrees.
The Badgers.
Seats Max, face the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Flee.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts at a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Ready, set, go. Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'll talk the Packer-Bear matchup with Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens. Then Rob Thomas drops by to talk movies and TV. Now that's a Friday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Ah!
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, Haley, we have an awesome guest on today, Mary Mazzio, and we're going to be talking about the Bad River film documentary. And Mary, thank you so much. You directed and wrote this documentary, and it's just a beautiful piece of art and work, and what a great message. Thank you so, so much for coming on to Native Roots Radio.
Oh, listen, it's my pleasure, and I'm humbled to be here with you, Robert. Thank you so much.
Well, Haley and I watched it, not together, but we definitely watched it, and Haley's got some great notes on this, and I know, you know, Haley, your favorite part was the last 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and it was emotional. Haley, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, so we can give a little preview of what the film that we're talking about. This is the Bad River film documentary narrated by Quanah Chasing Horse and Academy Award nominee Edward Norton, written and directed by award-winning filmmaker who we're joined with right now, Mary Mazzio. Bad River is a documentary film which chronicles the Wisconsin-based Bad River Band and its ongoing fight for sovereignty. This is a story which unfolds in a groundbreaking way through a series of shocking revelations, devastating losses, and a powerful legacy of defiance and resilience, which includes kind of that David versus Goliath, to quote, kind of battle to save Lake Superior. So this is a really great documentary, very educational, and everyone, you know, needs to see it. Mary, where can people find this documentary right now?
So right now, if you're an Xfinity member, we're streaming on Xfinity. We will be debuting this fall on Peacock. So it will have a very wide release this fall. In the meanwhile, special events are happening. If any of your listeners are interested, badriverfilm.com/dates. We've got upcoming events where you can stream it. And so lots of events and activities are happening around the film. We're actually, thank you for that question, Haley. We're actually just out of theaters, and the film lasted amazingly almost 2 months in 25 major markets, which is like a huge feat for an indie documentary. So we're really excited about the reception that the film has had and the impact that the project is having kind of in real time.
Yeah, I know it showed up here in Minneapolis, and there was a big buzz, and people were asking me if we watched it, if we saw it. I'd run into people, and that's exciting. You know, we have our Enbridge story here in Minnesota, and so we can relate. One of the really, really awesome things about this documentary for me was that you really put a lot of the Native story surrounded by this pipeline action.
Thank you. And honestly, that I can take no credit for that, quite honestly. When we began interviewing Bad River elders, it was really extraordinary because they said, oh, yeah, we'll talk about this current pipeline challenge that we're facing with a pipeline that's now at risk of rupture that cuts through the heart of our reservation. But did you hear about the fight we had a few years ago over the mountaintop removal mining project in the Pinokies? And then it was like, well, did you hear about the train loads of sulfuric acid that were going to come across rickety train tracks? And did you hear about this? And did you hear about that? And all of these stories of resistance came really tumbling out. And so the film meandered, just like the Bad River is meandering. And the film really went from, you know, a story about the pipeline crisis to one that became just this historical retrospective of defiance and resilience. And I'll tell you, Robert, I started getting chills when some of the elders were recounting these stories because it was so exciting to understand in real time the history of resilience.
Yeah, and resistance. You know, American Indian Movement started here in Minnesota, and I know you had a really nice piece about that in the starting and how the resistance and resilience of our relatives here in the Twin Cities, which we have the largest Native American population in the country. And so the movie was here for a week, and there was nothing but raves here, and I can't wait to see it again on Peacock.
And it was actually, Robert, it lasted more than a week in Minnesota. I think we were there for almost 6 weeks because AMC Cinemas, like, they called us up and they said, guess what? We're extending. Guess what? We're extending again. So, to have that sort of receptivity for a film like this has just been, you know, humbling in so many ways. And by the way, you know, credit where credit is due, I had an extraordinary team that included Allison Abner. Allison is a writer. She was a writer for Narcos and West Wing. And she hails from the Stockbridge Muncie Band. So she had this amazing and acute awareness and understanding of Native history generally. But she was so thoughtful and disciplined from a storytelling standpoint.
Well, when it comes to storytelling, too, I never heard this, but it really put a big smile on my face. And a lot of it has to do with Native American interpretation, but also our sense of humor. When things would happen, the quote was, when things would happen, an eagle would land on the moon. And finish that story. That was amazing.
That was outrageous. So I think it was Edith Leoso that was recounting to me, you know, she was talking about the birth of the American Indian movement, of course, AIM, and other groups that began to really lead the way in terms of what does it mean to have tribal sovereignty? And what do you mean you're not going to honor our treaties? And what does this mean about the land that we're legally entitled to? And so she recounted this story, this prophecy that a great day will come for Native peoples when the eagle lands on the moon. And she said, and of course we all knew the eagle is never going to land on the moon. Well, guess what happens, right? With Apollo, I think it was Apollo 11.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course you have the classic, you know, crackle, crackle of the mic and, you know, the eagle has landed.
Yeah. And then they took notice to that and really got busy.
And they got busy. That's exactly right. And you had this unleashing of activism and awareness, which was really, really exciting.
Well, and
And
back up just a little bit, too, about our history. And, you know, history has not been the history books have not been good to Native Americans in films. But, you know, just to back up with it, you put all this history compacted in a beautiful way, told in a beautiful way about boarding schools, about, you know, the BIA and about the struggles that we've had as Native Americans being the first people here.
And, you know, again, that was really driven by Bad River elders and the stories that they wanted to tell. And I think, you know, certainly as a non-Native, bearing witness to these stories for me was so eye-opening, particularly from a value standpoint. And when you step back, you know, the Bad River people, time and time again, like Native people everywhere, history has been written in such a way where it is, you know, the cowboy that prevailed, right? The founding of the West. And in fact, you know, how history has been woefully misinformed. And I don't know how history could have or has been taught without the history of Native peoples. And so I think the film has been so illuminating, especially for non-Native students. We do know of many, many school districts that are busing their children into theaters to see Bad River on the big screen. And, you know, as a filmmaker, that is so exciting because it means a new generation of young people can have better awareness and be much more fully educated about the issues that affect Native peoples in this country that are ongoing, as you well know.
Well, and one of the issues, too, is that we are dual citizens. I mean, a lot of people, not that many people are on the reservation. Like, for instance, Red Lake, half of their 17,000 tribal members live in the Twin Cities and the other half live on reservation. So we're not these reservation people. And we're proud of both. Being the dual citizens. We're proud of both of our countries that we're in.
I think that's exactly right. And certainly as it relates to Bad River, I mean, again, if you step back, you look at this really small group of people, and with monumental effort, they are fighting to protect Lake Superior, which, of course, is one of the world's most precious resources. But you see these fights playing out everywhere across America, led by Native citizens. And what struck me, especially as a non-Native, was this idea, and it's something that the Bad River former chairman Mike Wiggins said to me just a few weeks ago. He said, look, this fight, we're not fighting to protect Lake Superior just for us, but we're protecting Lake Superior for the country with increasing, you know, weather unpredictability. Extreme weather, there is going to be a dire necessity for more of the country to draw on Lake Superior for fresh drinking water. And he said, we're fighting at huge personal cost, this pipeline that is at risk of rupture, and we're doing it because it's our patriotic duty.
Mm.
And that just struck me like a ton of bricks. And I thought to myself, you know, just that value system, we are doing this for all of us, is so antithetical to so many of us that are, you know, rugged individualists or pull yourself up by the bootstraps and I need my package yesterday. And right, like if we could as a country be more thoughtful of community in the way the Bad River people and other Native peoples are, boy, we would be making America great again.
Yeah, perfect. Hey, we are here with Mary Mazzio, the director of an award filmmaker, and we're talking about Bad River, but we're talking about a lot of things that have to do with this documentary, this great documentary, and we're going to, you know, talk a little more. We're so, so excited to have you on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Ripping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh! Wow, we are kicking butt here on Native Roots Radio. We have Mary Mazzio, director and writer of the documentary Bad River, and we are just touching the surface here of this great documentary that can be seen soon on Peacock and in November 1st. Welcome back, Mary. And I want to kind of direct this question about the crust of the documentary, and then talk about the importance about, you know, addressing this Enbridge thing and their pipeline struggle with Line 5. We've had it here, and the Bad River Reservation in northern Wisconsin is really being attacked by a foreign company with lots of money.
Yes, and I think, you know, the challenge is that Line 5 cuts through the heart of the reservation, directly bisects the Bad River Band's land. And it is today, as the lower court, federal court Judge Connolly found, at imminent risk of rupture. That is terrifying because it means in a matter of hours, if there is a rupture, there is a catastrophe for Lake Superior. And I think, notwithstanding the many talking points that one often hears about this story, there are two really important facts. One is that a series of rights that Enbridge had to operate this pipeline across the reservation over about 3 miles expired 10 years ago. In other words, they no longer have the legal right to operate the pipeline. I think that's really important to know, in addition to the pipeline today being at profound risk of rupture. The second point, and this often gets lost, this is not a story about oil or about how many consumers and Canadian consumers are dependent upon this oil. This is a pipeline that moves oil from Western Canada to Eastern Canada. How it came to dip down into the United States when it was constructed in the 50s is really fascinating. But long story short, it was cheaper and easier to construct the pipeline through the United States than directly west to east in Canada. So in any event, you know, the Bad River Band has not benefited in any material way from the existence of this pipeline. The first 40 years were effectively free to the company to operate. But at the end of the day, I mean, we as a country, we're net exporters of oil. This has nothing to do about, really, this is not a story about oil at all. Mm-hmm. There are many, many ways to transport oil. And this is a story about a piece of aging infrastructure operating really in a place where it never belonged in the first place and where it no longer has the legal right to operate.
Wow, absolutely. And, you know, we talk about, especially when we were fighting Dakota Access Pipeline and Line 3 here in Minnesota and the Dakotas, we talk about the Kalamazoo rupture that, you know, pipelines leak, period. That's all we know. And sometimes we don't hear about them, and sometimes it's catastrophic.
Well, and I think that's a really interesting point that you bring up. I mean, Kalamazoo and the epic disaster, it was line 6A and 6B that were Enbridge lines that that ruptured. I think it was the costliest inland oil spill in the history of America. And that, of course, was not very far away from the Bad River Band. And so the Bad River Band hears about Kalamazoo, and all of a sudden there's a conversation. Well, wait a minute. Aren't we sitting on Enbridge lines? Isn't that who's right? But, you know, aren't those lines right beneath our feet? Mm-hmm. And Enbridge, of course, their rights expired only two years after Kalamazoo. So Kalamazoo was fresh in the minds of the tribal council. And as elders recall and former tribal council members recall, they started asking the company very difficult questions. How old are these lines? Right? Today, the line is 70 years old, 71 years old. How safe is it? What's your data? You keep coming onto the reservation to do what you call anomaly digs. What's an anomaly? Why are you doing these digs? What are you doing when you do these digs? And as elders recall, there was a lack of transparency from the company in terms of what was truly happening, which led them to this confrontation in the first place, where they said, you know, you're asking us for a right to extend your operations here on the reservation, and we are not going to agree to that. And that was the opening salvo to this battle.
Yeah. Wow. You know, I have to say something too about this documentary, watching this. This is like one of the most beautifully shot and edited documentaries I've ever seen, even if it wasn't about what it's about with the content. I was just amazed by the beauty of the shots that you and your editor chose to take, along with the talking heads, of course. But there's some beautiful shots there and some vintage footage of like an Enbridge commercial. And it's an amazing visual documentary, too. I just got to say that.
Oh, thank you for that. And you know, many people don't really realize sort of what goes into the making of these. But from a production standpoint, as you can imagine, given the remoteness of the area, right, it took a lot of people, you know, you got to house and feed them. And right. So we had a small, you know, village of people working on this, including, by the way, a number of Bad River members themselves. And we had, we shot on the Alexa, which is a sort of, you know, major Hollywood films are shot on the Alexa. We had drones. We had 4K drones. We lost one into the Bad River, which was, I think, Chaz Connors tried to come to the rescue with a whole team of people, you know, diving into the Bad River looking for that missing drone. But we, you know, sort of my going in attitude is you have these extraordinary people fighting for something that is much bigger than all of us. And the visual story should reflect that sort of heroic and valiant effort.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Haley, we only got a couple minutes left here. I know you watched it too. What is your feeling? And do you have any questions for Mary before we end this great segment?
Yeah, I mean, the whole documentary was just an amazing piece of work, and including the visual shots, but also the soundtrack and the opening scene with the drum, and it just really draws you in right away. And I really appreciated the fact that you touched on a lot of subjects, like kind of how Allotment Act and how forced assimilation to larger cities kind of, you know, led to higher rates of substance abuse and the opioid epidemic, and also touched on crime and police brutality. So, I mean, all in all, the whole documentary is just, everyone needs to see this. So again, can we shout out kind of the platforms and where people can see this Bad River documentary?
Yes. So as I mentioned, we're just out of theaters, but people can view the film. If your listeners go to badriverfilm.com/dates, backslash, then we've got all kinds of events happening around the country. We have where you can personally stream it. The film will launch publicly onto a larger platform beginning on November 1st with Peacock, and our friends at Comcast, NBC Universal have been really extraordinary in terms of their support of the project. And so, we would be thrilled for your listeners to see the film. And then if they're so moved to take action, we do have a take action button as well on our website and ways you might consider donating to support the Bad River Band.
Wow, perfect. Mary Mazzio, Bad River documentary. Thank you so, so much for being on Native Roots Radio. We got to do this again real soon.
Oh, Robert and Haley, thank you so much for having me. It's been a privilege, and really appreciate your thoughtful questions.
Right on. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote, vote, vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier now.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time for a special TGIF edition of the show. Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, will be here with a humorous look at the week in review. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Federal investigators say they no longer think the man who plowed a truck into a crowd in New Orleans, killing 14 people, had accomplices. FBI Deputy Assistant Director Christopher Reyes says the Army veteran posted five videos as he drove from Houston to New Orleans.
He stated he had joined ISIS before this summer. He also provided a will and testament.
CBS's Jason Allen is at the attacker's Houston home, which is being searched.
FBI investigators came in pretty forcefully searching that trailer for any signs of planning for this attack, any signs that maybe some of the devices that were found in New Orleans had been put together here. They also had searched a Jeep that was on the property.
New Orleans Bourbon Street has reopened. CBS's Katie Weiss is there.
You know, Bourbon Street is known for being party central, and slowly but surely the crowds are gathering here again. People are coming out to have a good time, just like before.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Community Stories is taking a holiday